Well, here we are again. We're back at this lecture on personal and ministry assessment for Christian workers or Christian leaders. And we're so excited that you have chosen to come back to visit with us. And in case you're wondering, this is our fifth lecture in this particular course. And if you recall, if you were with us in the last lecture, we focused on our divine design, and we pretty much laid a basic foundation for understanding what Scripture has to say about our divine design. And the whole focal point of that particular lecture was on for us understanding that God, as our Father, has uniquely created us. He has uniquely fashioned and shaped and formed us as human beings. And we examine Psalms 139 and verse 14 and just basking in the glory of that particular text and what David, the psalmist David, had to say about how God had uniquely shaped and reverentially created him, and that how God has also marked him out as a unique and separate and distinct individual. You will recall, just by way of just kind of digressing a bit here on that, is that David not only was a warrior, David was a musician, David was a great administrator, and so David had a number of different gifts, talents, and abilities that helped him to fulfill the role that God had placed him in his kingdom. Again, David was a great warrior. He was a great military strategist. But we also see the artistic side of David. David was a musician. He not only was able to play music, he was a harpist. He was able to play on the harp. And when we first saw David in Scripture, he played for Saul. He was a musician for Saul. The Bible said that David would play skillfully before Saul. And as you remember the story of David when he first went to work for Saul, his primary job was to play, because the Scripture says that Saul was tormented by these evil spirits. And David would play and the evil spirits would leave David. Now, and I don't know about you, but I've always found that somewhat fascinating that when David played, and I don't believe the Scriptures are being exaggerating when they talk about these evil spirits, because I do believe that evil spirits and demons exist and things like that. But the power of music, it shows you in one respect how powerful music is, and how we can't take light the impact that music plays and the role that it plays in our worship, and how important it is for us to understand how powerful music is. And so you may wonder, well, he's on a rabbit trail, but I think it's a good rabbit trail nonetheless, because I think, you know, music is vitally important, and we see that in the life of David, and you see the whole book of Psalm is nothing more than the hymn book of the nation of Israel. And most of those psalms, not all of them, were written by David. He was a composer of music. And so David had gifts, talents, and abilities that allowed him to function in these different roles that God had called David to function in. That's really my whole point in this little digression here. But I think it's a digression that is worth our time. So we looked at Psalms 139, verse 14, and then we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, and Paul saying that we were for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so not only is God at play in creating us as human beings and then giving us gifts, talents, and abilities to navigate life here on this planet as human beings, but when we become members of the body of Christ, when we surrender our hearts and our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, God further equips us to help us to make meaningful contributions in the kingdom of God as well. And so if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you may not know what your gifts, talents, and abilities are, but just know that you have them, but it is incumbent upon you to discover what they are. And so that brings me to this lesson. So you may be wondering, now Ron, I agree with you that I'm fascinated by that last study, and God has equipped me. I know that I'm unique, but I don't know what my gifts, talents, and abilities are. How do I find that out? Well, I'm glad you asked, and you come to this lecture providentially, and so I want to transition now and talk to you about how do you figure this out? How do you find out? Well, I believe that there are sources of feedback. There are avenues, and we call them sources of feedback, that give you feedback into how God has uniquely designed and equipped you. And so we want to talk about these types of feedback, but I want to pause first to ask you that as you reflect back on your personal life, what different sources have you looked to in order to learn more about yourself? Now, some of you may be a little bit more sophisticated in this than others. For some of you, you may have taken some assessments like the DISC profile. You may have taken the Myers-Briggs. You may have taken a spiritual gifts inventory. You may have taken a number of different assessments. And so in your life experiences, you've been able to draw upon some of those resources that are out there that have provided you with some insight into who you are and how God has uniquely designed you. Some of you may have not been privy to those things, but even if you haven't been made privy to some of these different instruments or assessments, that still doesn't mean you can't come to understand some things about yourself. And again, I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. So as we transition here, I like to, as we do in all of our lectures, like to pause before we dive into the content in earnest, is to stop and just kind of ask you real quickly to think about a couple of questions. The first one being is, how can other people help us learn? Remember, the Christian life is not one that is to be lived alone or to be lived in isolation. How can other people help us learn? And we're going to address that as it relates to how you discern your divine design. What are some of the sources that you can draw from to knowing something about who you are and how God has designed you, and what kind of feedback you can get from them. So I want you to be thinking about this. How can other people help us learn? And again, we're learning about ourselves. And what I often tell people regarding how can other people help us is this. And this is a powerful phrase that you should write down. And that is, and the phrase is this: you cannot be yourself by yourself. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to write that down, and I'll reiterate. As you think about this, how can other people help you learn? And remember, you cannot be yourself by yourself. God intended for you and I to live in the context of community. There are things that I know about myself today that I learned from other people. It was because I was in certain contexts, because I was in certain situations. I grew in understanding about myself because I was involved with other people. I've learned a whole lot in my 29 years of being married, from being married to my wife. And I'm sure if you married, you learn a lot from your spouse. Your spouse has taught you a lot about who you are as a person. You've learned about your capacities and what you can and what you can't do, what your limitations are, because you've had the blessing of having others in your life, your parents, your relatives, your friends, church members. They've all been there to provide you insight to help you learn. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. And how can other people hinder our learning? There are some people that kind of get in the way of keeping you from becoming the person that God has designed for you to be. My wife has a nice way of saying this, and that is there are people in your life for a season, for a reason, and I can't believe I'm forgetting the other part, but it's a reason, a season, and a purpose. No. Scratch that. A reason, a season, a lifetime. Yeah, there it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. So my wife says, yeah, some people can hinder our learning, because sometimes we hold on to people who need to be let go. And so remember, there are people in your life for a reason, for a season, and for a lifetime. So now, as we get ready to look more deeply at some sources of feedback that you can glean from to learn more about who you are as a person, I'd like for you to think about this quote. This quote by John Stearman says, "All learning," and it's not a misprint, "all learning depends on feedback." It doesn't matter if you're in an academic setting where you're taking a course and you have an exam and the teacher gives you feedback that this is where you need to improve. I just finished seminary. I just finished working on an MDiv. And I also have a degree in education. And whenever I would get my papers back from my professors, they would always have comments on those papers that invariably has helped me to become a better writer. They've helped me to become a better thinker. My seminary professors have helped me to become a better preacher. And they did that by giving me feedback on the things that I was doing well, by affirming me, but also challenging some things, critiquing some things, saying that I need to get rid of some things. When I took preaching, when I was in preaching, in preaching lab, we had to construct sermons and get up and present our sermons in front of our peers, and the professor was there, and we had forms that we had to write observations on. And then once we got finished preaching, then the professor, in addition to my fellow classmates, had to give feedback. And the goal and the objective of that was to help us to grow as preachers, to become better communicators of the Word of God, and to make us aware of maybe some quirks that we had, some what they call vocal fillers, where we say, and well, or anything that becomes annoying. And maybe you've noticed that I probably had a few of those vocal fillers along the way, and I'm sure my professor would get on to me about that. But suffice it to say, my point is we become better at what it is that we do when we have feedback. And so I think this quote by John Stearman is spot on in communicating the fact that we need feedback from others in order to grow and to develop into the people that God would have us to be. So now, what are some different sources of feedback? And we're going to look at these in deeper level, but let me just get these up here. One source of feedback is reflecting on personal experience. We all have personal experience. I'm 54 years old, and so I have a lot of experience to draw from to help me gain insight into who I am as a person. And I can just look back at the things that I've done, the different jobs that I've had, the different opportunities that I've been exposed to, and what those life experiences have taught me. Then, secondly, feedback from others. And again, I alluded to that early. I alluded to my wife and the feedback she's given me. I've gotten feedback from my kids, and I've gotten feedback from my parents, and I've gotten feedback from my employer, my supervisors, bosses that I've had that have helped me to grow as a person. And then finally, formal evaluations. I alluded to some of those earlier, but I'll wait to delve into that in greater detail in just a second. And so now let's reflect back and talk about reflecting on personal experiences. Again, we have a wealth of prior experiences from which to draw from to give us some insight into what our gifts, talents, and abilities are. As you think back to those things that gave you a great deal of interest, those things that came natural to you, those things that you found yourself energized from doing and brought great excitement and enthusiasm, things that you did better than the next person, things that you found yourself being consumed with, you find yourself being lost in time in doing, and it is something about this particular thing that excites you and gets your juices flowing, that you just love to do. And so you just think back on all those things, man. As I reflected on all the things in my personal experience, the one constant in all of those things and different roles that I have had is that I've always had this passion for teaching, this passion for the mind, and this passion for ideas. That's been a consistent no matter where I have been. And so as I reflect back on all those things, that, yeah, man, that's what got my juices flowing. So you need to sit down and reflect and maybe write some stories about what it is that brought you joy in life. What things really just captivated your imagination and your personal experiences. Again, go back and look at when you were a kid, those things that excited you, those things that really interest you, all the different jobs that you have, examine your likes and your dislikes. Go back in your memory and examine all of the experiences that you have and start connecting the dots. Start connecting the dots of all those things that really resonated with you, that gave you a sense of purpose, those things that, again, that just resonated with you. The second source of feedback, as we've talked about, is having feedback from others. And I really cannot emphasize the importance of having other people in your life who will speak the truth to you. Those individuals that will provide you with feedback about how well you are doing certain things. I'm not talking about the American Idol type of feedback. Where you've seen American Idol, I'm sure, where people have never been told that they're tone deaf, that they really can't sing, and it's unfortunate that you have people that go through life who've never been told the truth with love about their talents, gifts, and abilities, and say, sweetheart, that's not something that you're good at, and you have to be honest with that. That was a time I thought I wanted to be a chiropractor. Early on in my life, I started going to a chiropractor because I hurt my back, and I was fascinated by chiropractic, and you know, I played sports all my life, and so as a kid, and so I was kind of interested in being a chiropractor. Well, that ended when I had to take organic chemistry. And I realized that I just didn't have the mental acumen. I didn't have the mental stuff that it took to navigate those difficult subject matters in order to become a practicing chiropractor. And I was told the truth. You may want to consider something else because that's not where your mental capacities are. You got to have this kind of skill set mentally. And so I found my sweet spot, and I've been running in it ever since. But I've gotten feedback from others. I've gotten feedback on my job. Again, every year I have a performance evaluation on my job. And the beautiful thing about the performance evaluation that I get at my job is not punitive. The purpose is for me to become a better overall person, to be sure, in the context of my work, and obviously to become a better worker. But I also learn a lot about me. I learn a lot about me from my coworkers. I get affirmed by my coworkers that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. My gifts, talents, and abilities get affirmed in the context of my work and in the context of the people that I'm around. And I constantly receive honest feedback from others. Again, this is why you need to have significant other people in your life. And remember, You can't be you just being around you. You got to have some other people in your life. God has blessed you with a whole lot of people to be around. Draw from those folks. Ask them questions. Tell you a quick story. When a church that I used to attend, the pastor had a little boy who's right now, this is when he was about 4 or 5 years old. The little boy's name is Austin. Austin has got to be 24, 25 years old. He and my daughter are around the same age. And when Austin was a little boy, Austin would come into the sanctuary of the church, and man, he would make a beeline to the drums. And he would get on the drums, and he'd just start wailing away, making all kinds of noise on the drums. And it would drive people in the church crazy. Of course, he would do this before church started and everything. But his mom would grab him, and the dads would go get Austin. He's on those drums again. And we'd get through the service, and service would be awesome and wonderful. But as soon as service was over and his mother wasn't paying attention to him, Austin would take off, and the next thing we knew, we heard that sound again, the sound of Austin on the drums. Austin on the drums. And so he would start banging away at those drums, and this was a constant. This wasn't one Sunday. This was every single time Austin entered the sanctuary. And then one day, I was inspired by the Holy Spirit. I told his dad, the pastor, you need to buy Austin some drums. And he said, why? I said, because I believe those drums are calling him. And so his dad said, well, I don't know. Well, maybe it is. Well, to kind of make a long story short, Austin's dad and mom bought him some drums, and Austin became an incredible drummer as a result. What was that called? Feedback. And in this case, the feedback came from me. And I'm sure you can think of cases where you have given feedback to others. And in the context of the church setting where I came from, you'll be around those older saints who see you as a kid, see you growing up, and which is why I'm a big advocate for intergenerational ministry. I understand people do it. I'm not a real big fan of kids necessarily getting sequestered away from adults, and especially older adults who've been around a long time, those senior saints who've been walking with the Lord a long time and who have a whole lot of wisdom and insight. I benefited tremendously from those older saints, those grandmas and those grandpas and granddads and those aunties in church who nurtured and shaped me and spoke words of encouragement, who saw things in me. And in your case, it may not even have been a person in church. You may not have gone to church. And in some cases, it could have been a gang leader on the block in your neighborhood, because you may have grown up in an urban context. I grew up in the rural South, but you may have grown up in up north in Detroit or Newark, New Jersey, or New York, or Chicago, or somewhere else around the world in an urban setting. And it could have been that gang leader on the block or that drug dealer who thought enough and saw something in you to say, nah, you're not going to get involved in this because I see something different in you. You have a future. You're going to make it out. And they spoke that to you because you couldn't see it. You thought you were trapped into that world, but someone spoke life to you. Someone saw something in you to say, look, that ain't going to happen to you. You're going to get out of here. What were they doing? They were giving you feedback. They saw something in you. And so no matter where it comes from, it could be a coach, could be a teacher, somebody who spoke something into your life and provided you with feedback that you're to this day, you're drawing strength from. So do not undermine the power of feedback from others in gaining a sense of who you are as a person and the gifts, talents, and abilities that you have. And then thirdly, formal evaluations. As I indicated earlier, some of you may have taken different diagnostic instruments, such as the DISC profile. You may have taken the Ken Blanchard situational leadership model that gives you a sense about your leadership style. You may have taken the Myers-Briggs that give you a sense about your personality type. You may have taken there's a lot of different instruments out there for you to avail yourself of. Again, you may have taken a spiritual gifts inventory to give you a sense about your spiritual gifts. But suffice it to say, there are a lot of different formal evaluations out there that help provide you deeper insight into who you are as an individual and how God has uniquely gifted you. Now, the thing to remember about formal evaluations is this. There's no one inventory that's out there that's going to tell you everything about you. This is why if you have the opportunity, if you have access to these evaluations, I would encourage you to take as many as you possibly can, because they're designed to provide you with a small window into who you are. And when you take them all together, you have more panes in the window. And so when you have more panes in the window, it allows you to see what's outside in a greater degree. If you just have a small window in a pane, you can just see primarily a small space, but if you get a big, more panes in the window, it opens up a panoramic view of what's on the outside. And in this case, these formal evaluations provide a panoramic view. Taken in total, they provide you with a panoramic view of who you are created by God. So take as many of these evaluations as you can. Now, again, you may be in a country where you don't have access to this, because these things do cost money. But even if that isn't the case, let me encourage you to at least draw strength from reflecting on your own personal experiences, as well as drawing strength, drawing insights, drawing encouragements from others around you. So even if you can't gain any insights from formal evaluations as a result of limited funding, that's still not a reason. I don't want to give you an out. You still have access to find some things about yourself by using those other two sources of feedback. And when this becomes available to you, then make yourself avail yourself of these different evaluations as the Lord provides. And I'm sure, and if you pray and seek the Lord, that God will make a way, much in the same way as He's making these courses through Christian Leadership Institute. He's making this available to you. Then God can make these available to you as well. So summary, what have we learned through this lecture on sources of feedback that will help you to gain insights to who you are and how God has uniquely designed you as a person? Well, number one, feedback is essential. And as they say in my church sometimes, I can just kind of, if you could just say this with me, right where you are, just say these words, that feedback is essential. Let me see if I hear you out there. I think I hear you. But what else we want to say with this? That feedback is essential for personal growth and development. Feedback is essential. You got to have it. If you want to grow, if you want to develop, you need to have feedback. Secondly, multiple sources of feedback provide greater insight into who you are. Again, taken in total, if you're able to reflect on your personal experiences, get feedback from others, family members, friends, the community that you are in, teachers, coaches, pastors, elders, deacons, mothers of the church, whoever. And then if you're able to also, on top of that, if you're able to access and you're able to take evaluations, formal evaluations, When you put these all together, it gives you greater insights and greater depth into who you are as a person. So the multiple sources are vitally important. Then thirdly, remember this. This is key. Receiving feedback is an ongoing process. Receiving feedback is an ongoing process. And I like to say it like this. It's a phrase I learned when I was in graduate school for education. Our professors used to say this, that we're always striving, never arriving. Always striving, never arriving. In other words, the journey of self-discovery, you never arrive there. God has so designed you and I that we will never exhaust learning everything there is to know about us. Isn't that beautiful? That your life is such that you should never be bored, because there's always something new to learn about you. And so receiving feedback from others is an ongoing process. It's ongoing. And again, the more you know about yourself, the realize how much you don't know about yourself. School has really helped me with that. And that's why I'm so excited that you are here and you're taking advantage not only of this course, but you're taking advantage of the opportunities that have been made available through this incredible ministry of Christian Leadership Institute that is providing theological training and education around the world. And so you're able to receive ongoing feedback from professors and perhaps even some colleagues and fellow students from around the world that will help you grow and develop into the man and woman of God that He's called you to be. So receiving feedback, it doesn't stop. It doesn't matter how old you get. It doesn't matter how many degrees you get. It's an ongoing process. So stay open to receiving feedback. Now, as we bring this session to a close, as always, I'm your prayer man. I want to pray for you. So if you bow your heads right where you are, let's close with a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this session on sources of feedback. And I just thank you again for those who have tuned in to availed themselves of this session, this course, and I pray that you will help them to reflect on their own personal experiences, that they will open up their ears and request feedback from others, place them in a posture of being willing to receive feedback from others, and not view receiving feedback in a punitive manner, but in a way that will help them grow and develop as believers and as leaders in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, and God bless you.